Romans 13 is one of the very interesting sections of the whole Bible. I guess in a way that's unfair. You could probably say that about every chapter of the Bible, but Romans 13. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. In other words, we would say God establishes human authorities. So I ask this question, do we believe this? We do, huh? We say we believe what the Bible says. We say we believe that God establishes human authorities. That's what we say? We believe it. Yes, sir? He does. But he, at this place, is saying that God is responsible for the people in authority. Or responsible for them being in authority, correct? What about how the British felt in 1773? Those of you historians, that's the date of the Tea Party, the Boston Tea Party. Americans had come over here to start a new life, to create a new fabric of society, to establish freedom. It wasn't really a rebellion so much against the British at the time of the first settlers coming here. People were looking for a way out of the morass in Europe. They were looking for a way to start over and start new, and it was tremendous hardships. The people were willing to face every bit of hardship there was. They just wanted to be left alone to do what they could do. And by the time we get to 1773, the British were oppressing us with tremendous taxation, and so the Boston Tea Party was held as a kind of a rebellion against that, and it led, and 3 years later, the Revolutionary War. Yeah? And we're very patriotic about that, aren't we? We feel very strongly about what happened to create the founding of America. Well, but that's history. Let's fast forward right now to what was on the news last night in Ukraine. Natasha's from Ukraine. Carol and I have said several times during the past week, what you must be going through, dear lady. And I asked Natasha about this a week or so ago, and she said, fortunately, her family was not in Kiev. Is that correct? Your family was in another area, but the whole country is in turmoil. And people are dying there. And that, we don't have to just think of Ukraine. That's happening so many other places around the world. Yes? God is the one who establishes authorities. Or would it be fair to say God is the one who allows authorities to... Do you think it's possible that an evil ruler manipulates his population and becomes the ruler and then is horrible to his own... That God is allowing this? Is that possible? Well, it's not only possible, it's history. Over and over and over in the Word of God, what does God do to discipline His people Israel? Over and over, He allows oppressors to have their way with Israel. And this is, I just tell you quite frankly, this is one of those parts of the Bible I don't like. I don't like it because it just doesn't, that's not how I would do it. Man. God establishes principalities and powers. He is the one that's in control. There is a purpose for what's going on in Ukraine right now. I can't say I know what it is, but there's a purpose for this. Just like there was a purpose for what was going on earlier. And he reads here, this is, if your Bible reads like mine, listen to these words. Anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. For authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right. But notice it doesn't say that you're not to rebel. Hello? It doesn't say do not rebel. But it tells you who you're rebelling against. The authorities that God has put in power. So what is the people to do? what would actually happen if we got down to verse 8 and started reading about love? What would really happen if we could love? And this, folks, we've got some 6,000 years of history right now that we have recorded history, correct? The message is the same as it's always been. What did God want with the very first people? He just wanted them to follow Him. Just obey Him. Just, and I don't mean that in some kind of beat down obedience. All Adam and Eve had to do was go out and enjoy the garden. Just enjoy the creation God gave them. And obey His voice. I think it's the same throughout history. What would happen if the United States of America actually obeyed God? Do you think things would be better? Instead of what we are doing, what are we doing? We're not just disobeying God. We're trying to get God out of every form of government, every form of public activity at all. I submit to you, these are pretty critical times. And if we are going to get disciplined by God for walking away from Him, then the authorities that He puts over us are probably going to be severe. And that's why I said, I don't like that. I would rather a people return to the Lord. Verses 8 through 11 are talking about love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. I just don't know how to love somebody who's against me, who hates me, who's trying to do me in. I'm telling you as a man, I don't know how to love somebody who comes at me, who wants to attack me. I know what Jesus would do. Jesus would love that person. I'm trying to figure that out. How do you love somebody who's intent on doing you in? Is this just my problem? We've got a nation that's being torn apart by guns. True or false? Well, it's really being torn apart by idiots and evil people. That's what's doing the problem. It isn't the guns. You know, I like that old saying, guns don't kill people. People with guns kill people. You say, well, Pastor, are you against guns? No, I'm not against guns. I got several of them. I love to go shoot them. But I don't know if I have the capacity. I don't know if I have enough Christ in me to lay down my life for my neighbor who come at me with a gun. I pray that doesn't happen. Well, what if somebody started breaking into your house? What would you do? What if somebody attacked your wife? What would you do? Look, I'll tell you how I've answered this question. I don't want it to happen. Because I don't know if I have the capacity to do what Jesus did. I'd like to think I could. And I know this kind of conversation stirs up lots of passion, lots of emotion. We could quickly divide the church into at least two or three camps. That isn't my point. My point is God's word comes and says, look, I will put authorities in your life. I, the Lord, will put them in there. Your job is to love. And I think if the church today could learn how to love, we would make advances in our culture. Hello? If all we do is learn how to do what the culture does, which is to resist and fight, which is my default setting, then instead of changing the culture, we become a part of the culture. And what I think the Word of God is trying to get us to do is to be separate. Yes? To stand apart, to be seen as different, to be seen as Christ. And so I confess, I struggle with this. I love to love people that like me. Don't you? It's fun to be with people you get along with. But how, God, can we love those that just want to pick a fight? I know you like sermons that answer questions, but I think sometimes we just need to face reality and see that our civilization right now is in jeopardy. I believe that. And it's not that I'm some kind of a conspiracy theorist, doomsday predictor. I've just read the Bible. Hello? That's what's in there. And however many years we've got left, folks, before the Lord returns, I think what his message is figure out how to love. Now, this kind of connects to, at the end of Romans 14, look at verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Where, dear ones, is the kingdom of God? Where is it? Is it just off in the heavenly somewhere? No, Christ said, behold, the kingdom of God's at hand. The kingdom's here. And then he says, you know, Father, I will be in you and you'll be with me, in me, and we will be in them and they will be in us. And later in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is this God we believe in? He's here. And so this kingdom that you and I are seeking is not in all the stuff. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom is in making right choices, having peace in your heart, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Wow. How far is it to get back to God? Elizabeth Ross, how far is it for her to get to God? It's not like he's on a different planet. He's closer than a brother. And all we have to do, really, is say, okay, I repent. I stop today disbelieving and I start believing. So simple, isn't it? If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God. How many of us want to please the Father? I want to please you, Lord. Do I please you by just singing songs, or do I please you just by making good music, or do I please you by working hard and raising money? Do I please you by supporting my family? Do I please you by serving in the church? Lots of ways we think we get go please God. But look what he says. Here's how you please me. Righteousness. What's righteousness? Norma? Making right choices. Yeah, righteousness is choosing. Peace. Be anxious for nothing, Nikki. There it is. That's your quote. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Another name for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. He comes to do those things for us. I love Romans chapter 13 because every time I read the thing, I have to go back and fight it. I try to read it and say I understand it, and then I have to go fight it. And the Lord is working in all of our hearts. Amen. We read an interesting thing this week in Genesis 24 to 27. We saw Abraham as a type of the Father, Isaac as a type of Christ, and Eleazar as a type of the Holy Spirit. And they were looking for a bride for Isaac. That would be the church, because Isaac is a type of Christ. Can't you see it? Back in Genesis, we're seeing what God wants. For his son, Jesus the Christ, the bridegroom, is looking for a bride. Who is that? We the bride. To me, it's just so exciting to read at the very beginning of the book the answer to everything God's trying to work through in the whole program. Would you turn with me to Psalms 18? If you don't have this one psalm underlined, I hope you will after this. Psalm 18, it says, it's for the choir director. It's a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. He sang this song to the Lord on the day the Lord rescued him from all his enemies and from Saul. So we know the background of the story. The king Saul is after David, trying to do him in. David goes through several issues of angst and worry, and he'll cry out to the Lord, and then he'll sing to the Lord. And eventually the Lord comes through for David, and David's response, when God actually comes through, David's response is to sing. David was a musician, so he probably was able to craft a tune and sing this song. Look at verse 19. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me. Why did he rescue me? Because he delights in me. I just ask you to circle that. We're looking for how does God do a thing in this study. How is it that God approaches issues and things? And how about this? How is it that God would approach you? And if you could see that the Father delighted in you, what would that do to your heart and soul when he approached? If all you saw, let's say, was a God of wrath, a God of judgment, both, by the way, which he's capable of. He is, yes? Capable of wrath and judgment. But if that's the only way you see the Lord God coming to you, then your response to him is going to be much different than if you see a God who comes to you because he delights in you. Why did God delight in David? Was it because David was perfect? Was it because David never sinned? Was it because David was always right? No. So David was no perfect person. Who is it that establishes authorities? All right, so who established David? God. And David did some dumb things along the way, true? Well, why do you think in the midst of all that, God was delighting in David? This is so powerful. What was it David did to... Exactly. So I've told you earlier the kind of man I'm struggling with, but this is the kind of man I want to be. I don't want to be the kind of man that fights. I want to be the kind of man like David, who returns to God and gives him praise. Our culture's teaching us men a lot of things about how to be a man. We can define what it is to be a man. There are books written about what it is to be a man. There's all kinds of things. But what kind of a man does God want? God wants a man who's after his heart. Right? And it is it true? God is the one who's established whatever gifts any of us have anyway, right? If we've got certain talents, certain capabilities, certain intelligence, certain perspectives, certain whatever it is we're made of, it's from him. And since we're his creation, since he's the Father, he delights in his children. So we can see the Father. Hopefully you can see the Father approach you with a smile on his face because he delights in you. The enemy will speak in your ear and the enemy will say, you're nothing. You don't measure up. You're not as good as this person or that person. You did this. You thought that. Anybody ever hear those voices? Huh? What would it be if we could start hearing the voice of the Lord saying, I delight in you? And that's in the Psalms. Wow. Verse 25 and 6 of 18. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity you show integrity. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the wicked you show yourself hostile. I get to see some of how this works. I get to understand the kind of a person God wants to delight in. Yes, ma'am.
He says, with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful.
It's wonderful, isn't it? Merciful, blameless. Merciful would kind of go along with learning how to be a lover instead of just a fighter, yeah? Unless you're called to a battle of some kind. I know we're running long this morning. I won't take much longer, but I do want to mention one verse in the book of Job. If you'd page back from Psalms to the book of Job, chapter 13. I think there is a lost perspective about God, and part of the danger might be what I was just saying earlier, that God is a God of love. In fact, that is a definition of God. God is love, the Bible says. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be merciful. So many things. He's asking us to make right choices and be at peace and experience the joy of the Holy Spirit. All of that is true, yes? Job 13:11. Doesn't his majesty terrify you? Doesn't your fear of him overwhelm you? What do you think Job is trying to say? When he uses words like terrify and overwhelm, is Job cowering before God in a sense of defeat? No. What Job is trying to capture with human words, so whether it's written in Hebrew or whether it's written in English, do we have an awesome God? I love that old song that came through a few years ago, Our God is an Awesome God, right? Wow. Do we really walk around planet Earth, going through our day when we leave here in a few minutes, are we really going to go about our job with the idea on our hearts that God is an awesome God? Or do we somehow instantly get just sucked up back into the planet Earth stuff? I think I told you on the Camino I was feeling bad and I was really beat down and I was feeling grumpy and I looked and I saw a flower and the Lord said to me, I made that. It practically has changed my life, quite frankly, because I was trying to figure out why would God tell me that he made a flower, is something as insignificant and simple as a flower. And of course, that wasn't the message, was it? The message wasn't, Skip, I made the flower. The message, Skip, was, quit your griping. Look around. Lift your eyes. Look at what I made. Skip, Heine, you're walking across Spain. Who does this? Really? And all of a sudden, the mountains that I was complaining about being so high became beautiful. The snow I was worried about trudging through became gorgeous. The people I was with were spectacular. The woman of my life by my side. I mean, come on. Get your mind off of your problems. Our God is an awesome God. And it isn't that he terrifies me in the sense that I'm just scared I'm going in the wrong place. It's like, oh, your thoughts are nothing like my thoughts. Amen. And aren't you glad? Yeah. What? His thoughts, they're more than different. They're higher. They're higher than us. I'm enjoying this read this year. I'm enjoying going from book to book through the days. I'm seeing every week a connectivity. It was very hard, Peter, for me to give up the Sunday. And God gave me a Jesus smacking. Let me tell you, where's Amanda? She's teaching. That's an Amanda phrase. You get Jesus smacked. So I went beating the wind and the rain with a golf club is all it was. It wasn't golfing. But the Word of God reveals an awesome God. And it isn't that we're terrified as much. I like the other word. We're overwhelmed with God's immensity, with his wonder. So if you have a thing this week, if you get to a place this week where things aren't going the way you want them to go, I recommend you go into the bathroom and start washing your hands. This may be, you know, we could have a new day spring baptism. We could start washing our hands and immediately think of somebody else. And we'll think of what somebody else is going through and we'll say, you know, Lord, forgive me for just thinking about me all the time. And right now I'm thinking of Nikki and Cliff. I'm thinking of Gina. I'm thinking of Joyce. I'm thinking of Etta or Liz. In Jesus' name, I'm thinking of BCA. I think it's a better way to live is what I'm trying to say. And I love the Word of God that every time you pick this book up, it's going to point to Him. So, Lord, we give You thanks today for reminding us again of who You are and trying to open our eyes to how great You are. And especially, Lord, that You delight in us. Your purpose and goal is not to smite us. Your purpose is to restore us. And so help each one of us come to You again with fresh faith, with newfound repentance, and just be able to walk again in Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So God bless you, church. Thanks for coming today. We have refreshments to follow. Don't forget, men, sign up on the thing. If it hasn't finished going around, it'll be on the table. Norm, you'll find the clipboard. Get it on the table. All right. You are dismissed.